The press conference corresponding to the film, it's a co-production between India, France and the United Kingdom called Tigers, which is the latest film by the Bosnian director, Mr. Denis Tanović, who is here with us today, along with two of the real protagonists of the story, Siad Amil Rasa and Diamon Emanuel, as well as several of the producers, Sidomi Kolar, Andy Patterson, who in turn, apart from the producer, is a co-scriptwriter, Prashita Chaudhadi, who is also a producer, and finally, Mark Bashet. So let's commence the questions whenever you deem pertinent, ladies and gentlemen. Hi. Good afternoon, and above all, congratulations for the film. I would like to ask, especially the producers, given that the film is based upon making a film at the same time in the film, why finally did you decide to do this, to have a crew that's already filming within the film, if you catch what I'm saying? It was for the producers, yes.
Look, the difficult thing with this story was that we were not allowed to make it. We set out to tell what we thought was a very important true story, and we discovered along the way that it was almost impossible to tell a true story because it dealt with an issue that large multinational corporations may not want told. And to begin with, we just, thanks to Prashita, we found somebody who was prepared to back the making of the film. But there are two stories in this film. There is the extraordinary story of these gentlemen and what they went through in Pakistan, but there is also the fact that when we tried to make the film, we were blocked from doing so. And we felt we had to tell that story as well, because I think it's really very serious that it's impossible to find backing for a story as simple as this. So we decided to put the filmmakers into it so that we could discuss this very point. That even, you know, when Western financiers are scared of taking on a story which is true in every detail, in order to make it, we had to make sure that we could back up everything that happened. So that were it to come to court, which it never will, because we'd be stupid to try that, we could defend it completely. But even with every detail being true, and with lawyers knowing that it was true, financiers were too scared to make the film, until this lady came along.
I just want to add another thing, is that this film collapsed in 2006. And ASAP Film, which is Mark Bashet, myself, and Denis Tanović, we have the company together, we never accepted that this film will never be done. And I must say that I kept it on my back for 8 years. And on a lucky moment when I went to India, I came back with co-producers on this film, which among others was also Sikia film with Gunit Monga and Anurag Kashyap, which is a very famous also independent director as well as producer. I came back with possibility to make this film plus another film, which is Lunchbox. So it was a happy moment for me in India. And why India? Because there was no way that we can co-produce it with Pakistan, as you can well imagine. So this incredible affair went on for 8 years, and now you saw the film.
Yes, next question, please. It's in English.
The actual people that were there. How close is this story to the real story? How do you see it?
Well, let me start then. It is, I mean, the way the things have been portrayed, most of it is as it happened. So it's not me doing the doctor, so it has to be an actor. I'm not a good actor. But that's the only, I would say, the thing which is not there, that it's not me or it's not Amir in person these are actors, but whatever is in there, I'm sure it's, I would say, 95-99% right. You have to make, and I'm not again a film person, I'm a professional doctor, but you know, when you put things into the film, you have to kind of do things which are, when it comes on the screen, they are different from as it happens in real life, but most of it, or I would say, all of it is as it happened. So that's true story, real true story.
Can I just add something that for those of us who spent many, many years making the film, Dr. Diamond, I met and talked to 8 years ago, he's just seen the film for the first time. So the sense of relief from us that he would say it that way is very large. Thank you so much.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Yes, okay, next question, please.
I have noticed, I don't know who is going to be able to answer this, but I have seen that the Hub logo, the Hub, the other company, the one that is not Nestlé, the symbol is like the one that Nestlé Aquarelle has. It's very, very similar. I don't know if that's a coincidence or if it's intended, or I don't, maybe it's not your thing, and
you're
just asking the wrong people.
You're talking about Hub or Lasta?
Hub. Hub is the one that's what confuses me, because the symbol is really, really similar. I looked it up, actually. And I found it weird, because, I mean, if it had been the other one, but with Hub, I don't, that's why I think it can be a coincidence. I don't know. It's a very generic logo.
Yeah, I think it is generic. But
yeah.
What we were most keen to do with the film was to accept that it was indeed based on a true story, and I'm happy to say very closely based on a true story. So it is a story about a guy who worked for Nestlé and a doctor who worked with him, but there were many other, and are many other, multinational corporations doing very much the same thing. So we wanted the story to be more general whilst at the same time alluding to the source. So, you know, it's more than just a Nestlé story.
Congratulations for the movie. I wanted to know two things. The first is the feelings on the part of the two protagonists, Mr. Diamond and Mr. Said, about NGOs. Are NGOs a help in your struggle to get things done in Pakistan or other countries, or are they a bit of a hindrance, or how do you evaluate the role of the NGOs? And the second thing is, in that 95% of the story you say is true, does that include also the fact that the protagonist is this fine man who had a lot of potential, is selling now donuts in Toronto?
Right.
As far as the first question, that the story is true, yes, of course, I see today the fifth time, and every time when I see, I am unable to control myself, and everything in this film is true and accurate, and I think they use in 90 minutes whatever they can is the best, you know, way to tell the story. As far as concerned with the NGOs, in the film you see that in the one dinner with lunch, I think we sponsored, and the one NGO person, that Maggie, she came and she says, if the last Nestlé would sponsor this one, we are unable to, you know, to do the presentations. At that point, I know that somebody who's working against that company. Just I know, but I am, you know, at the feeling at that time, because I save the money for the company, I can use for somewhere else. And if they would like to pay, that's fine. But after that, when I realize, and you know, in the film, then we see that some people in Pakistan who are working, you know, for the protecting the babies and the infant formula to at that extent. And then we decided to go and to meet with them.
So
Yeah, I would add that this was just a coincidence, actually, that while Amir was sponsoring this dinner, the people from this NGO were invited, and they simply refused. They said that if he's, the company is sponsoring, then they won't participate. So they actually paid for the money for the dinner, and that's something which stuck in Amir's mind when we came up with all this, when he came up with this idea of legal notice and things became difficult. We knew that there were people who were there to support breastfeeding, to help us if we needed, and that's when we contacted these people who were actually not in the same city where we were, and I don't know how much that is portrayed, but it was not easy for us to actually travel to see these people who were actually living in Islamabad, which is the capital city of Pakistan, and we used to make a number of trips and talking to these people, and the good thing was that this NGO had good contacts with other people in the UK, in Malaysia, and in Canada, and so the word spread, and things actually went, not only, they didn't stay in Pakistan, but went worldwide.
And just one thing, Ed, that on that lunch, I think they left a lot of, their newsletters, and in the end, I just found one newsletter, and then I read that what later on, I keep it with me, but on later stage, I read that what is that newsletter, or what they are doing, and what is their work about.
And lastly, I would like to add that people from people who supported us from the UK, some of them are actually here sitting with you, and just to prove my point that whatever we say is right, and I would request Patty to please stand up and
siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Next question, please.
I wanted to know if there has been any reaction from Nestle, even if not legal, and secondly, if there has been any reaction from the medical community in Pakistan, because partly it's also the responsibility of the doctors who were prescribing that formula.
This film opened in Toronto on the 7th of September, and today we are the 25th. So I think that regarding Pakistan, I don't know if anybody can give us that answer, but for the rest, all is calm for the moment.
Yeah, in Pakistan, actually, people have not seen it yet. So when it comes out in the cinemas and people see, we are expecting at least some reaction, and the best reaction I expect is actually taking the positive message, the message which we wanted to convey, that definitely we should put the lives of children ahead of the profits.
Next question, please. Hi, good afternoon. Congratulations for the film. The truth is, it's a very interesting portrait. I would like to insist upon the issue of how you've constructed the film, the reconstruction and the construction of the script. That is to say, that driving line, storyline, a film within a film, imposes other different levels vis-a-vis representation, and it reflects upon how the story that's narrated, and it's also it makes a gesture towards the media as well. Let's say, how much did that script change? Because you've said five or I don't know how many years until the film could have been. How much did the script change in order to try to take the slant that it's taken? And what did you renounce to? What did you have to give into in order to make? And could you talk about that ending which more than a moral to the story, what it does is encourage upon the feeling of an epic story a good story. Maggie, for example, in the parliament at a given moment said, this has happened in the 1970s, this has happened in the 80s, and it's going to continue to occur, but we have to tell the story. And it leaves you that feeling of a frustration and pessimism upon a story which is a small story but can be replicated in other types of settings, perhaps. I hope you got all that.
Well, look, obviously it took us 8 years to make this. Yeah, that's already, for me, it's the longest trip I ever made with a film. Trouble with making with this kind of story, actually there are many problems. First is that you have a real story. You have a real person, and you have to stay true as much as you can to that person. On the other side, you have all the issue. On the third side, you have a company. And there's a possibility that this, you know, biggest multinational company in the world is going to sue you because you're, you know, making this story, and, you know, because they can. So we had to verify each and every fact, you know, from our side. Then in this case, it was BBC. Even they sent their investigators. They had to re-verify, and they came back saying, yes, you know, well, everything you said is true. We have proofs now, and we still couldn't make the film. So 8 years later, we thought, Andy and I, when we shot the film, we thought that, you know, it would be fair to include that, because I think it's crazy that we have all these public services whose mission is, in difference from the private companies, they're using public money, is to protect, this kind of issue and to talk about this kind of issue because they are difficult. And if you have them backing off, then, you know, what kind of world are we living in? So it was a complicated way to make the story, to put everything in, and at the same time to make it, well, the word is not entertaining, but to make it interesting, to put some suspense in it. On the other side, you know, there were facts which we couldn't verify, or we couldn't be 100% sure that happened, which are even more terrifying than what you've seen. But we didn't put them because we couldn't prove them 100%. So we decided we choose not to do it. And then in the end, our real message was, and is actually, that it's not only Nestle. They're all doing this. All the companies are doing the same thing. And that's the problem. It's not just Nestle. As they say, there were 13 international companies in Pakistan at that time who were doing the same thing. And you know what, if you feel pessimistic and depressive at the end of the film, that's because we do. Because this, you know, when we first time went to Pakistan, Andy and I, we went to Pakistan, I really thought we were going to have an old story. And then we went to, and then we saw that, you know, it's actually happening. Then, you know, 7 years later, it was a dry season, you know, which is a big difference in those parts of the world. It was not even a monsoon season. Well, it was the same thing, you know, the babies you've seen in the film are the babies that are actually in these, you know. I never think it stopped, but it didn't. It's still happening. And even today, if you go to those hospitals, you'll see it. So I don't think these people even understand what they are doing, you know. Because these corporations, they function like, you know, everybody has a different kind of interest. You know, the top management wants the profit, and then everybody else is doing whatever they can to make this profit happen. And I'm, you know, I may be naive, but I believe that if we show them what's happening and if we start the debate, then, you know, this kind of thing eventually will stop. I think we have power to stop these kind of companies by choice, you know. You stop buying their products. There are many other products, many other companies that, you know, and it's happening. I mean, you have an example of Apple recently who produced manufactured pieces in a way which were not, you know, okay for the workers there, and, you know, and they change their way. So, you know, there is a power in us. I think all of us have power to change this thing. So it is pessimistic, but I always say I don't have solutions in my films. I just ask questions, and I think solution is up to all of us to find and, you know, to do something about it.
And if you can just add one sentence, that one way of letting evil to prosper is that good people do nothing. And I'm pleased that good people have done something to stop the evil. Thank you.
But unfortunately, it's terrifying when you see, actually, when at the beginning of the film, you see Senator Edward Kennedy asking those questions. And these people say, we don't have any responsibility. Well, you know what? I think that answer is why we all feel today that we have no brighter future. That's exactly why are we living in a society in which now everybody's afraid. Nobody feels that in 10 years we're going to live better than we live now. Everybody's afraid of, I don't know what, we started to live in a society of fear. I mean, soon 1984 is going to look like Happy Children book. And, I think power is in us. We have to take these people responsible. And it's not only with this company. It's happening all around. Too big to fail. And, what happened? Well, they are doing it again. And we're going to have again a crisis. And until we learn, we're going to have to pay the bills. Now you're all depressed.
Okay, just a moment.
Questions? Hello. I don't know whether I'm allowed to ask a question, but as the NGO, the international NGO that was behind this, it's very important, I think, that we don't get depressed by this film. I mean, it's incredibly, but we think about multinationals and transnationals and think about how we regulate them. This is what our organization does, is not trust them. You see the Ayan character taking the charter. This is how the multinationals work. They give you a charter, or they give you some very nice sounding PR document that was impossible for this man to do, given his job. So we have to get behind that and regulate these companies, not trust what they're saying, and literally tell our politicians and everything that they literally must regulate them properly and stop this type of practice. So thank you. And like in India, they have a law that the formula sales are completely flat in India now, whereas they're up in Pakistan, unless you regulate.
Thank you very much.
Was there a question?
Oh, shall I ask a question?
So I think that this is very important so that you can understand why this film was done in India. It's one of the reasons, I think, that gives India a big credit. And apart from us being so grateful to the producer that is here, it's also why in India it was possible to make it.
And all thanks to Prachita, fantastic film.
Next question, please. Siguiente pregunta.
Yes, next question.
No hay más preguntas.
No further questions?
If the director, did your Bosnian heritage influence your culture? How did it interact with an Indian situation? A Pakistan, South Asian situation.
Well, obviously, those are really different worlds. But I think in every society you can find references that people see, and one of the biggest compliments I received is that that some people from the region, some Indians and Pakistanis, saw the film and they said like we would never tell it was made by somebody from outside, and that was my biggest fear, to make something, to make those little mistakes where that person is not from there, and that something in the film happens which would never happen in the society. So having a wealthy producers who allow me to do it, I had five people at any time just for cultural references, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's the fact. Like somebody asked me, why doesn't he kiss his wife at the end? I said, because he would never do it on the street. It would happen maybe in Bosnia, it would happen, but in Pakistan, it would never happen. He kisses the child, looks at her, and leaves, And it's just, these are those things that, you wouldn't know unless you had somebody from there who would tell you, you can't do this. So, plus, I was shooting in a language that I don't speak, and I still don't speak. You know. So, I had at any time, I had few persons, you know, very often five people, who would watch with me behind what's happening, and who would, you know, who I gave the right to tell me everything they thought, you know. So, and I really told them, look, I'm the captain, but, you know, I need you to navigate here, because all alone I can't do it. And they were really, really helpful. I'm really grateful, you know, for the help. This film really proves that, you know, it is not one-man show. It's 200 people working together. And I'm very grateful to them, because they were very, very generous toward me. And I think they all understood the importance of this. And none of us had an ego, you know, saying this is the way it has to be. We all kind of cooperated and found a way in working. And, you know, it wasn't easy, but we did our best. And I think people liked it. Even if it's depressing for some. He left. Too depressing.
Hi, I'm Patricia for HBO Latin America. Here.
Hi, Larissa.
Congratulations on the movie. My question is for Prashika, is that right? You are the India, the producer for India. So I wanted to know, how did you enter the project, and why did you decide to have the risk and make this wonderful movie in there?
You know, I'm very proud to be associated with this movie, and we all are doing our best to basically make it reach where it should reach. And after Toronto and today, I'm very, very confident, and I think all of us are very confident that it will. So, but for the past, yes, I, after knowing about what the basic story is and what we are trying to do here, I never had any question mark. I just straight away went ahead with it. That's it.
¿Alguna pregunta más?
Any further questions?
Any other question, please? Yeah, un segundo, que te acerquen.
Just a second with the microphone, please, so that we can translate for you. Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much. And congratulations. I've got a question for the director. Why isn't there a Pakistani producer? Because we've seen an Indian producer, a French, and English producer. Why isn't there any... a Pakistani producer? Maybe, is there because of the political background between India and Pakistan? That was my first question. And secondly, why have you chosen this subject matter? Very different to your own country. That is to say, you've chosen a subject which is very different to your own country, and you've taken it on board to direct it. Okay.
Well, look, there's no Pakistani producer because we didn't need anything. I mean, from Pakistan, we didn't need money. We didn't have any relationship whatsoever. We had few Pakistani members of the crew who were in Pakistan shooting. You know, for whatever reason we needed, we went there. There are no Bosnian, you know, producers either, so, you know, there was no need for that. That's the reason. I know the political tension is, but in this case it was not. It was really because, you know, there was no necessity for it. For the second, well, you know, Andy brought this. I think we were in Cannes Film Festival or something like this. We're together, and he said to me, I have a story for you. And I read it, and, you know, it was immediately a story for me. Why? I could give you hundreds of reasons why. Why? Because I'm father, you know. And when I read this story, I believe somehow in order in the world, you know. I'm very naive in many things, and I'm romantic in many ways. I love to believe that we're all going to die one day. But, you know, my mom should die somehow before me, and, you know, and then I should die, and then my children, you know, that's the way it should be. I think loss of a children is the worst thing that can happen to anybody. I have few friends who lost their children, and, you know, I just see that those people never came back. Something died in them, you know. And this is, I think this is good reason enough for anybody to go and try to do something about it. I mean, I am father, I have 5 kids. I know I would die for any of my kids, instantly, without any problem. And I think it's all natural, you know. So just thinking that something might happen to them, not even to think about death, but, you know, when they break a leg, I'm devastated. So I can't even imagine, you know, when I first saw this documentary, I couldn't speak for 2 hours. And believe me, I'm a tough guy, I've seen shit in my life. And when I saw this documentary of this woman looking at her baby, you know, and this baby dies in this hospital, this shouldn't be happening. That's it. I don't need any more reason than that. So, you know, I'm just happy it took us 8 years, but we, you know, I'm really, you don't even know how long it is, 8 years, to try to make this, and then, but tonight, you know, with all these people cheering and being happy and telling us bravo, and, you know, we understand, and I think it's important, you know, I like to believe that I've spent 8 years doing something that matters.
This kind of sacrifice, and in a way I'd like to ask 2 questions. I know Amir must have suffered a lot, post-traumatic stress perhaps. I want to ask whether this film helped to cope. And also, in this age of the internet, a film like this, a message like this, could go viral. And I wonder whether the producers or publicity experts are thinking of ways of making that happen, because I think that's what should happen.
Yes, of course, you know. In 1997, when we start, we are only 4 people, my family and Dr. Diamond at that point, and that is finished in Germany. And after that, all the stress to away from my family. My mother, she have a cancer and she passed away. And right after 3 months, my father have a heart attack and he passed away, unable to attend the funeral. And you know, all these years is very difficult and to think about this one. But after when last year this project is going to be final, and when I heard about that this is going to be shown in Toronto and see this film, I think that recovers all my stress, all my sadness, and whatever is happening in my life. I think this is whatever they've done, the producers, Shri Pratisha Chaudhary and Andy Patterson and Dennis Stanwyck. I think they bring whatever I have. Now I feel, you know, much, much better. And not even better. Before that, I am taking the pills of my high blood pressure. Now I am fine after this one. And I am really, you know, feel something is in a big difference in my life, which I started 17 years before. And they bring all whatever, you know, I done, and they bring in thing into the world like today and in Toronto. I think that's the best ever results I can get it, and I am very happy and I am very thankful to everybody to bring this movie in. Thank you.
¿Alguna pregunta más?
Any further questions?
Any other question?
Can I just speak to the viral part of the question? Because the, you know, I mean, I don't know if you can imagine how wonderful it is to feel that for Amir and Dr. Diamond that we finally brought some justice to them after all these years. But the point of what we do is to use an astonishing story like this and to try and make it go viral, because what cinema is there for is to find a specific story of this kind and to connect emotionally to it. You know, people like Patty and Mike and all the action groups have worked for decades. In Toronto, we met the woman who started the Nestlé boycott back in the 70s. The documentary that we feature some of in the film is one of the most powerful things I've ever seen, and yet they go ignored. And the power of cinema is to engage emotionally with these characters and to send that message out to the world in a different way, so that, you know, that process of going viral starts right here. And I hope that you'll write about it. I hope that you will start to shout that message, not just that this happened, but that you're not allowed anymore to tell stories against multinational corporations, because they can stop us. They stopped the BBC from telling this story. I find that deeply shocking. And what this film does is to say, all right, we will tell it. There are people around who will have the courage to do that, but you are all part of that story, and you have to go and shout it. Otherwise, it will continue. 40, 50 years this has been going on, and people say, oh, it's an old story. It's not an old story. You know, the lines in the movie are those lines. It repeats itself, and we are no longer allowed to stop it. Well, this film needs to try and change that. So please help us go viral with this.
And there's also another point which I have to underline again, is that without India and without completely private involvement of Prashita, which is sitting here with us, again, it wouldn't be possible. And I mean, the courage of putting the total amount of the cost of the film from one person is really extremely important. And on the other hand, I think that in continental Europe, we have a slightly different situation than across the channel and the ocean, regarding that we have more freedom to get into subjects like this one. And I think we have a little bit less fear than would be the question, would be the case with Anglo-Saxon investors, which fears much more so-called errors in the missions policies if they do not get them, that they would never go into a film like this. So I think that there was a very happy marriage between Europe and India. But again, without the real feeling and real involvement in this film, how could you ever imagine that it would be done and completely financed by one private source? And this, I think, it's really, we exist, thank you.
What I would like to say is precisely that thank you very much for the courage that you've demonstrated, the courage that you've demonstrated. Not only were you courageous when you denunciated this or reported this, but after the years you've continued with your story, and you've continued that you wanted to put it on screen, and very few people is able to do that and to be that courageous and to not get stuck along the byway. I wouldn't have been able to do that myself. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to ask, after an experience like this, which is so long and so tough and so difficult, how do you feel it's changed you or has transformed you in your creative calligraphy, or have you seen this project and this experience in your own style of filmmaking? Where do you think it's going to take you vis-a-vis your next project? I think the question's for the director.
Look, I think every experience changes us. You know, we're never the same. I'm not the same person who started this film 8 years ago. You know, maybe thank God, you know, if I made it 8 years ago, I wouldn't understand all the things that I understand now, because 8 years is a long, long time to do, you know, and gave me time to think and to rethink and to understand and to revisit. And, you know, it's not the same time when you write a screenplay and then, you know, 4 years later, you come back to it, you read it, and you read it as a foreign body. It doesn't belong to you anymore, because 4 years is a long time. And, you know, then you read it again 8 years later, and, you know, it helps you out. And in which way it changed me, I you know, I don't know. That's probably from my psychologist. I'm kidding. It's you know, I enjoy my work because of that, because of constant change, because each time you start with zero. I didn't know much about Pakistan and India before I started this. Now, you know, I've lived in India for almost 2 years, thanks to this film. So, you know, and when you're living with people, it's not as being as a tourist, because you live there, you work there, you get to know. You get to know them, you get to know their culture, you start to understand, you know, things you would never understand, you know. The other day I found myself in a procession with, you know, Ganesh going into water with a friend. You know, I wouldn't even know what Ganesh was if I didn't. So it changes you, of course it changes you. You know. And as for my future projects, well, I was just discussing this an hour ago with a friend of mine, who told me, again, this film looks different. And I say, yeah, each my film is different, not because I want them to be different, but because I can't shoot this film the way I shot. For me, the content of the story somehow, you know, is important for the form, for the final form. So, you know, I think each I hope that each film I make is going to be somehow truthful to the, you know, in a form and in and content to whatever am I trying to say. I don't know if I'm making sense.
And we also have to thank San Sebastian, because out of 6 films that Danis did, 4 were shown here, including this one, which is in competition. So this is a very, very nice place for us to come back every year.
Oh, yes, it is. It should be longer, you know, because we just get used to this good weather and food and all the good stuff here, and then we have to go. So I think festival should invite us for 2 weeks prior to the festival with our families and friends, and then.
Okay. Any other question? Okay. No. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Good.